this is a time, and this is a really, really important entire part of the cycle, is to digest and to compost what it is that we've grown. So, and they're two kind of different things as well, just keep in mind, right? So what we're digesting is we're taking in everything that we have built and accumulated and grown over the last 6 to 9 months, right? And so looking at this then, what am I digesting? Like, how can I digest the last 6 to 9 months and then compost the remains, right? So from what I've taken, like, I'll take the juice, I'll take the seeds, I'll take the nourishment and sustenance that I have grown over this time, and whatever's left, I can return to the earth. I can make good soil from.
Welcome, beautiful soul, to the Weaving the Wild podcast. In this space, we are reclaiming and remembering the wildish wisdom and knowledge that lies deep within our bones, and reconnecting to those parts of ourselves that are both ancient and familiar. We talk about it all, awakening our collective wildness and dropping back into our bodies, honoring our cyclical rhythms, connecting to our roots, embracing our intuitive nature, and living embodied within the feminine. I'm Rachel Hodgins, and I'm honored to be walking this path beside you. Let's dive in. Hello, beautiful soul. Welcome back to the Weaving the Wild podcast. I'm really, really excited to share this episode with you today. This is a conversation that was originally recorded as an Instagram live with the amazing Karen Hewson. Karen is such a dear soul and friend of mine. She's also a past client. So we spent some time working one-on-one together. And I was so excited when Karen reached out to weave this conversation and explore some really beautiful, delicious, nuanced terrain, I want to say. And I think that you're going to get a lot out of this conversation, whether you are based in the Southern Hemisphere or not. This is a conversation that was really sparked by the fact that we've just entered a whole new astrological year. So we experienced the Astro New Year, we've moved into Aries season, and we had the equinox just, you know, a week or so ago. And Karen reached out, you know, sort of speaking on just like how all the posts that she's seeing are applicable to the Northern Hemisphere and speaking a lot more towards the spring equinox and how that applies to Aries energy. And it very much does, you know, that rising, fiery ascent sort of energy. But there's not a lot of content touching on how this energy applies to those of us in the Southern Hemisphere and, you know, the shift into autumn and how Aries energy and New Year energy applies with this kind of autumnal overlay. And so what ensued was the most delicious and really long conversation. We didn't expect to go that long, but I think there's so much in there that I'm really excited for you to dive into and sort of chew on and see what resonates for you. And as I said, even if you're not in the Southern Hemisphere, you may be a Northern Hemisphere friend listening to this. I think there's a lot in this conversation. So I really, really invite you to breathe it in and see what lands. In this conversation, we talk about Aries energy, what cardinal fire means, and how Aries is likely speaking and showing up for you, how it's communicating to you, and how it's inciting change within you and your life at the moment. We talk about autumn energy and switching the lens to see autumn as the harvest season, and how that simple shift can completely alter the way that not only you see this time of year and this energy, but how you show up with it and how you work with it. We talk about the importance of digest and compost. And this is a really, really important part of the whole cycle of the life, death, life cycle is a really important phase that really gets overlooked all too much. So we dive into the energies of digesting and composting, as well as so much more. This again is a really, really rich conversation. It's also a bit of a longer one, so I'm going to keep this intro short, but I do want to invite you to check out Karen's work. She is just such an amazing, bright spark of a soul, and she's at the moment offering writing workshops for women. And these workshops are not just for like professional writers, they're just a space and a place for you to practice opening up and putting your words and your story onto paper. Whether your story is, you know, something small that's just living within you, or maybe your entire life story, who knows what that might be. But as you hear us speak about in this conversation, Aries energy is really calling on us to show up as ourselves, to honor the self, and to let ourself be known and seen within the world. And I think, yeah, Karen's work is so perfectly on point at the moment to support you in that. So I really, really highly recommend checking out one of her classes and her work in general. And yeah, I'm going to pass this straight over to the recording and the conversation that we had just yesterday, actually. This was recorded on the day of the Libra full moon and lunar eclipse. Of course it was. And hopefully you can feel a lot of energy and a lot of medicine woven throughout. If this conversation does move you, if there's any aha moments or any, you know, key points that really kind of land within you, please let us know. We love to hear. We really, really love hearing what's alive for you as well, and how these conversations really support you. So you can screenshot as you're listening and tag us over on Instagram. I will make sure that our links are all below. Or just reach out, DM us, and let me know what's going on and how this conversation and episode has supported you as well. And without further ado, let's dive in to this beautiful conversation with Karen.
I am really excited to have this conversation with the beautiful Rachel Hodgins. We are going to be talking about shifting from summer into autumn, as her and I are. I'm in New Zealand, she's in Australia, and it's a very different energy shift to what's experienced in the Northern Hemisphere with the spring equinox. Looking forward to summer, we are starting to turn inward towards winter. And if you're anything like me, you really don't want to let go of summer that quickly. And so I've done a lot of work around shifting out of summer and into autumn. And so one of the things that really annoys me is seeing so much content out there about how the spring equinox is so aligned with the start of the astrological season, with Aries season being cardinal fire, being you know, the start of things and the spark of inspiration, the spark of ideas. And so I'm really excited to talk with Rachel, who is an astrologer and also a cyclical living coach. I've worked with her before and she's absolutely amazing, to talk about how these energies can support each other and what we down in the Southern Hemisphere can look for. So let's just see if we can get her coming on. Oh, yay!
We're here. We made it.
We did it. Oh, my gosh. Yay. Okay, that's great. I'm excited.
Yay, me too. I'm so excited to have this conversation with you, because, you know, it's so funny you called me an astrologer, and I've never really, like, I don't consider myself an astrologer, but I'm more yeah, like cyclical living and cyclical rhythms is my jam. And yeah, so astrology weaves into that. And so it's why I just love to have this conversation with you around weaving seasonal living as well with the seasons of each astrological season. Very exciting.
Yes, absolutely. And yes, I think I say that because you know a lot more than me about astrology. I feel like you've got a really good foundation of astrology to speak to this. But like you say, weaving it into cyclical living and the seasons, because the
all of the signs of astrology and the wheel and the cycle, we that is a cycle that we go through there, has so many similarities and that we can draw on, even when we might be in a different season to that. So yes, welcome. I'm so excited for my own benefit as well as for everyone else watching. So do you just want to get us started with a little bit of an overview, I guess, of astrological new year, Aries season, that energy? Because that energy is like shared for everyone in the whole world. And then we can sort of say, right, we've got that going on and we've got autumn equinox, that transition. How do we work with both? How do they complement each other? Because I know they do. Consciously, I'm not quite there yet, but I know they will.
Yeah.
And we can start diving into it.
100%. So the first thing I just want to like just put a little pin in before I like we dive into specifically astrological energy is every season begins by the mark of the equinox, right? So when we look at astrology and then we talk about like seasonal living, they're still very entwined. So we have the cardinal energies of Aries and its opposite Libra, right? So they sit opposite each other on the wheel of the well, the zodiacal wheel. And each of those signs also are marked by the beginning of a new season. So whether it be spring or autumn, they're marked by the equinox. And the same when we look at like Cancer and Capricorn, when we shift into these energies, they're marked by the solstice, or the solstice is what initiates those energies, right? And so not separate by any means. They're very interwoven. These like the movements of the sun, the shifting energies and cycles of the earth, and our astrological cycles. So when we look at when we talk about the astrological new year, what we're really talking about is the sun's movement through the 12 signs of the zodiac, and marks the space of the zodiacal year, right? So we've got 12 signs, the sun moves through each, it culminates at Pisces, the dissolving, the letting go, complete watery abyss. and then it sparks a new cycle when the sun moves into the sign of Aries. Aries is cardinal fire. So cardinal being, when we talk about like the, we won't go into too much, but like in terms of the modalities of different energies and signs, a cardinal energy is one that initiates an energy, is leading us into something, right? So it's like lead. So cardinal fire. Aries is leading us into it, sparking something new with the energy of fire. And really, really what Aries is sparking is action. So Aries at, you know, Aries energy, it is that forward moving, passionate, purposeful, completely focused, like lasered in on what it wants, on moving towards its desire. And that really we're into Aries season and the astrological new year. It is the sparking of a new cycle, right? A new journey through the astrological wheel. Talk about that if you want, but really I just I see it as every sign, every you know, when we look at the 12 signs of the zodiac, they are teachers, right? So they're each time we move into a new season, we're kind of kneeling before a new teacher, a new mentor in, who can invite us into another layer or understanding of ourselves and how to be within the world. So we start that cycle in Aries, who asks us to really connect to the inner flame, the spark within our heart, and to kind of, I don't want to say be fearless, but to initiate, to lean toward it, right? So that's where we are when we're at the start of a new astrological year. We're sparking something.
I loved that. Yeah, and already from you describing that, I'm making connections to like the autumn equinox. And not, like you say, the season starts matches up with each of the cardinal signs of the zodiac. So we are starting something new. We're stepping into that autumn season. And even the fire symbology with like the leaves turning color and things dropping away. And it made me think of sort of using that fire to cleanse in a way and to clear things, and more dramatically about like forest fire, when you're like, okay, we're going to clear space and clear the ground through autumn, then it needs some time to like germinate almost, which is winter, and then it'll start growing afresh. So it's almost like, okay, I can start to make the, you know, the energetic connections now between that and some of the attributes and energies of autumn, instead of, you know, having in my head so many of the spring connections where I'm like, that's not where I'm at, and I want to form these new connections so that we can really use that energy to help us ground into and stay connected with nature and the shifts that are happening, and be able to hear the wisdom of, okay, what am I guided to do in this season?
Mm-hmm. Absolutely. And I think, you know, this is why I love having this conversation with you, Karen, where for those in the Northern Hemisphere, it's very easy to see the connection, the correlation with Aries season and spring energy, because it's like, follow that desire, you know, allow it to grow kind of thing. And it does require a little bit more, I don't want to say discernment, but like it's, you have to actually tune in a little bit more when, you know, you sort of seemingly against the narrative.
Yes.
It's not the case. We're not against the narrative, but really, and this is what I love about like cyclical living in general, is it's inviting you, like you, to tune in to what does it mean in this moment for you, right? Mm. I always say like there are cycles within cycles within cycles. The key, like to like really embodying and living by this way, is being able to kind of read the story or read the narrative and like kind of co-write the story that's playing out for you in this moment. And so like, yes, we can see easily how like Aries energy can correlate with spring. It's just like that new light rising energy leading us towards something. But it's really important to remember that like autumn is not a passive time, right? Look at it at like on a seasonal kind of perspective, autumn is probably one of the busiest times on a seasonal kind of, when we look at the seasonal wheels, autumn is the time that all of this growth, all of this sort of like abundance that's grown since spring and throughout summer, autumn is the time when it's all being gathered, right? And I mean like, on a literal level. Like when we look in our gardens, when we look outside, this is the time when everything's finally come to fruition, everything is fruited, and it's a short kind of window to harvest it all, to make use of it, to ensure that we have what we need when we move into the dark months of late autumn and winter. And so like, oh, that's on a really physical level, but we see this, right? And so autumn is not a passive time. Autumn is a time that we're still being very, very active, right? And it's so like, I don't think we talk about this enough, where it's like we still plant seeds in autumn, right? Like, but other ways as well. And, you know, this will, you know, possibly bring us into a deeper conversation around that movement towards the dark months and the dark half of the year. But, you know, autumn is a time when we're still needing to plant certain seeds, maybe not as many as we would, you know, in spring and summer, but things still grow in late autumn and over winter. Some seeds need to be sown in order to overwinter, right? Yes. And so there's a different flavor in terms of what it is that we're sowing. But it's a really important thing to be just able to keep in mind. And that's what I feel, and especially when we come to, like if we're looking here at the wheel of the year in terms of like the earthly seasons and the eight sabbats, you know, we have Lammas, right, or Lunasaur, like early in the year, February for us here in the Southern Hemisphere. And that's still a time when we're really focusing on what it is we're harvesting, like the rampant growth and abundance of summer has really come to a head, and we're harvesting, right? But once we start to meet this point of the equinox, and really like the equinox marks that beautiful pivotal point where we start to tip over towards the dark half of the year, when we start to embrace the darkness and the dark embraces us from here on out. And we're shifting towards this really beautiful kind of opportunity to shift our energy. And I mean that like literally, physically, and where we are paying energy to, like where we're focusing, where we're giving our attentions to as well. And when we move towards the dark half of the year, like, you know, we've been in spring and summer where the energy is outward, it's very much where everything is like rising and put forth into the material world, right? We see that in the budding and blooming of the flowers and the sprouting of seeds, and in our own, like the way that we just, our days are busier, our days are more full. spring and summer. And when we start to shift into these darker months, you know, the energy draws inward but down. And I feel like this is a really important time to be able to really, really appreciate and understand the significance of that and what that means for us. This is a time when we can start to like plant our own seeds for the months ahead. Like for what seeds are you planting for winter, right? What seeds are you pulling into, and like very like in a different way, but quietly, gently nurturing and nourishing over the course of autumn and winter within yourself. So there's so much more we could say there. I'm gonna like just, I just went on a
whole. Yes, let me pick up a couple threads. That's amazing. I love that you started with summer, and I think that's really important with what I've been writing about as well, is understanding where we are starting from with such a transition. And because a lot of our culture and society still like gives huge applause to the results, to the harvest, to being full, to expanding, to being out there, summer can feel like a really comfortable place and comfortable energy. And I don't think, well, a lot of us are learning the skills to be able to shift in value autumn and winter as much as those. And I think one of the reasons that it's probably hard for me and for others to let go is because you're like, no, this is what's applauded. Like, I'm supposed to have a lot going on. I'm supposed to be productive in this way. And then I feel like autumn's really calling us to look at all of that and say, okay, well, what do I want to keep though? Like, this is all grown and it's amazing and it's fun, but it is literally a season. It's not meant to stay like that. We're not supposed to keep just growing and growing and growing. Otherwise you end up with this like overgrown garden where you can't find anything and everything's really crowded and fighting for resources. And that's AKA stress in modern society. So I think that's really important to realize that, oh, this is the start. This is the invitation to start saying, what is the no? And the other thing you touched on with spring was talking about how, and I remember this from when you were coaching me, about spring being like follow your desire, and with autumn being the opposite, like spring is the sacred yes and autumn is the sacred no. And I feel like that really, I know I'm such a good student, aren't I? Gold star. so I feel like that's again the invitation where we've let a lot of stuff grow in summer. We've gone out there, we've tried new things. We're like, okay, looking at my life now, what do I want to take forward? And what has been fun for now but isn't right to move forward with? So could you speak a little bit to that?
Yeah. I love that. And like for context, when we were sort of speaking in like the sacred yes and the sacred no, we were speaking specifically about like aligning with our menstrual cycle and
I know you phase. Can just take this conversation and like substitute summer for ovulation. I know, and it's the same stuff.
yeah. But it is true, right? So when we think of spring energy, it is the rising of inspiration, like the spark of a yes, right? Of life that wants to come through and to manifest. And then when we think of autumn, it's like the clearing, it's the pruning, the shedding and falling away and ready to compost. And that, as you said so beautifully, Karen, like we fight that so much. We just don't know how to deal with endings in our culture. endings, death in the death and rebirth cycle is in so many ways, it's the easiest part if we just allowed it, right? It doesn't take that much.
Stop fighting it. It'll naturally happen and things will naturally fall away, but we're clinging on to them because we want to stay here and it's not actually a benefit to us at all.
Yeah. And so that's the first thing I usually say is like, because when we think, again, if we think of like spring and like bringing forth new life, there's a lot that goes into that. I'm going to like keep the seed analogy here, but like you don't just like, you can just put a seed in the ground and it probably will grow, like it will probably do something, but for the most part there's a lot of love and nurturance that has to go into seeing our seeds grow and thrive, right? So that they produce a bountiful harvest. And that's not just like in, you know, we put it in like the seed in the soil and then we're like, we give it love and then we let it go. It's months, right, of consistent pouring of love into the thing that we're seeking to grow. Then once it's reached the end of its life cycle, once it's reached that point where it's fruited, it's provided, you know, it's done its thing, there's really, there's only one thing left for that seed, that plant, that thing within us or our life to do, and that is to end, right? It's not going to go any further. And so if we embrace that, if we see it for what it is, which is the end of one cycle in order to begin another, this really it doesn't take the same amount of work and energy as it does to grow the seed in the first place. So I just wanted to like put that in. But
I love that. That's such a good point, because we do attach hard work and effort to results, and like if it's not hard, then it's valued less. So I think that's a really good point, that like we were talking about how autumn can be like a really busy season, a really active season. Yes. And also these things don't need us to really do much. We don't have to do anything to let them fall away.
Yeah. And so that's where I would start, is like the invitation's really, it's not to go and seek out like to make something as like, okay, it's autumn and that and shed. What have I got to clear here and shed? The invitation is to just pay attention, like what's going on at the moment for you? What's happening at the moment? And usually if we just pause for a moment, if we tune in, and usually we'll feel it, we'll be able to kind of pinpoint it by where we are feeling tension or particularly kind of like constrictive or like icky kind of energy in our world. It's the sign that energy is not flowing, that something's been ground to a halt, or that something's kind of butting heads with something else in our life. And all we like, that's the first step, is just to identify, well, where is it that's going on, right? And then to look at, okay, what is it then that's needing to shed? What is it that's really kind of causing this kind of tension, so to speak? How can I allow it an easeful death? And that doesn't mean that maybe it's a relationship, right? It doesn't mean that the relationship itself has to end, but that we have to like just cut that person out of our life entirely forever. It may be a particular aspect, something, dynamics in some way that's going on within that relationship that needs tending, that needs clearing and pruning, and all the work that we do in autumn, right? So that's kind of the first place that I would invite you to start. And like bringing Aries energy back into this, right, is... like when we speak of Aries as the initiator, he invites us to initiate something through action. Like that can correspond to the sacred yes, but it also is the sacred no, right? And that doesn't mean just for context here, or like just to say it, is like it doesn't mean that this is a season that's all about the no, that we cannot say yes to anything. It's
yeah,
like,
well, we'll come back to the part where you said we can plant seeds in autumn as well. I've still got that in my head because I think I need to hear a lot of that too. So yes, absolutely.
Yeah, so really the way, there's a few things going on here, right? It's a beautiful, it's such a beautiful kind of, not complex, but nuanced time, because autumn's just like a fascinating time to me. There's so much going on and there's multiple layers, and really, and this is like the invitation when I was saying earlier about cycles within cycles, it's like being able to hold multiple truths at once.
Yes.
And you can do that, right? It can be a bit uncomfortable to start with because we're not, again, raised in a culture that really understands how to do that. It's a very linear culture. It's like, okay, we're autumn. That means we're slowing down. Things have to end. It's like, that's not necessarily the case. But there is like, for the like overall, I suppose, theme of this time is it's a time of shedding and letting go. So we can look at what is coming to an end. Yeah, like what's the no? What is the sacred no that we're saying we're clearing and pruning now, and you know, removing the excess within our world. But yeah, when we look at Aries energy, it's like, well, what action are you gonna take? What are you initiating? Like what clearing are you initiating now? What space are you initiating in your life? What are you saying yes to? What are you going to say? What are you actually going to do with this? Like, how are you going to move yourself forward within this? And that's a really, really powerful time and energy to be in, especially, right? Because you do have the opportunity, yes, to say, to look at what you're clearing, what you're letting go of, the excess of summer, all that you've accumulated. But and this, you know, we're kind of touching on this earlier, as we move towards the dark half of the year, this is not a passive time either. Like winter is not passive either, right? Even though we think of winter as the time of rest, of quiet, and you know there's a lot going on still beneath the surface during winter. And the way I always kind of like feel about it and speak about it as we move kind of from like Samhain onwards. So like, oh my God, there's a whole thing there, but let's just put that aside.
I know. I've pinned that for me as well. I'm like, no, you're writing about the autumn equinox. We will talk about Samhain and Halloween later. Like,
yeah,
we're just.
I mean, it does also weave into this conversation because we're talking about, you know, an astrological new year, the spark of a new beginning,
yes,
and the kind of tension we can come up against here in the southern hemisphere of like, well, what does it mean if it's the start of a new year and energy is like rising and yet we're going towards, and yet when we look at something like Samhain, which is like Halloween, is more commonly known in this day and age, and for us here in the southern hemisphere, that's April 30. Right, not October 31st, but around the end of April, start of May. When we look at Samhain, like that is, you know, in Wiccan and potentially even more ancient, you know, beliefs, culture. Samhain was the witch's new year, right? So we truly stepped over the veil into the dark months because we're moving towards this right now here. At the equinox, right? Samhain marks the point where we step into the dark. In Wicca and other, I can't think of the word, not just
Celtic
religion. Yeah, like all of it. Yeah. So different cosmology. Where the new year begins. We take Celtic culture, for example. This was the case in all cycles. A day in ancient Celtic society began in the evening, right? So rather than like, you know, the sun rises and we start a new day, a new day in the eve. And that's why we have like, you know, when we think of Halloween or like we think of like Midsummer's Eve and all these different like seasonal celebrations, there's always the eve, right? Midsummer's Eve,
yes.
And these things. The celebrations began the night before. Right. And so there's a whole piece here around new beginnings are initiated as we enter the dark.
I'm so glad you touched on that. That's one of my favorite little like fun facts about beginnings is that actually, you know, the focus has been shifted to spring when we can see something, but the real beginning happens before that. And I think that's a really big part that we are realigning to a lot when we are using the Wheel of the Year and these different things to tap into the seasonal wisdom and cycles rather than, you know, comparing ourselves to machines, which we are surrounded by most of the time. And with you touching on that with Samhain, it makes me feel like the autumn equinox really feels like it's the start of wrapping up. Like with Lammas earlier, we're like, oh my gosh, summer has fruited. We're like, it feels more late summer. We're starting to like see the harvest and indulge in the harvest and enjoy that. And then the equinox really feels like okay, it's time to start wrapping things up. It's time to get prepared. It's time to shift things. It might be putting on your winter sheets. I don't know, packing your summer dresses away. But it's the start of wrapping things up so that when it gets to Samhain, we're like, okay, yeah, we're ready now. We're ready for this new beginning because we have cleared things away and we've made space and we've put things in storage, you know, metaphorically, yeah, to then shift into that new year. So that, just as you were talking, like that's, I was like, oh, we don't have to feel like, oh my god, I have to like let go of summer right away. It's like, oh no, we're wrapping up to step forward into that new beginning a little bit later. So there's like lots of these little new beginnings in a way.
Absolutely. And so this is the thing as well, like when we, I love that you sort of were saying there how like Lammas or Lunasaur feels like late summer, and it is to me. It marks late summer, which is, again, it's like for us here in the southern hemisphere, it's the start of February. So, and you can feel it's that point after Christmas and everything, you can feel a shift in energy. It's still, but it's
just, for us as well, like that's when school goes back. Like for me as a mum, like right, I think it was a couple of days before 1st of February, but I made the note, I'm like, I'm getting the kids ready to go back to school. We're shifting out of a summertime routine. It's a little more relaxed, a little more open. We're bringing a bit more structure to things. The kids are going to school, you know. A lot of the time here in New Zealand, like even if you're working a 9-to-5 day job, especially if you're in corporate, January is very relaxed. There's not a lot going on. People are showing up and keeping things ticking over, but no one's starting anything until February when school is back and people are back in routine and they're focused. So again, I think despite us not being fully aware of that happening, we are have embraced those energies a little bit. I don't know if it's similar in Australia as well, but in New Zealand, it's definitely, you know, corporate-wise and everything, it's like, no, it's summer, we're on holiday. Like February is the beginning of things going back and us starting to put a little more structure in place, get a little bit more focused.
100%. I find it really interesting. So when we look at it from the perspective of the Wheel of the Year, it can make a bit more sense when we talk about autumn as the harvest season.
Yes.
As opposed to a certain idea of autumn, right? And we think of like it's already like golden leaves and things falling. But when we think of harvest season, it begins in February, right? It begins in late summer when we're starting to, it's the energy again, it's no longer that rising kind of rampant abundance of growth, right, which is that summer, Beltane through to like just around, you can feel the energy shift where it's like things are still kind of putting, like growing fruit and things like that. We're still doing, but we're not kind of initiating newness. And now we start to see what it is we're actually kind of harvesting. And that does it, you know, you were speaking around looking forward and like these kind of small steps towards the dark months. The harvest is a time, yes, to harvest, but to take stock, to look at our lives. What do I have, right? What do I have here at my fingertips, and what am I going to need in the weeks and the months to come? What am I going to need when the darkness of winter sort of settles in? That comes, yes, very like on a literal level, but also energetic and emotional level as well. And this is where I find it so interesting, like, to me, like, you know, you hear, especially like we talk about Samhain, and like we think of Samhain, like it's so intertwined with like the ancestors and like the other world and the underworld and all this. But ultimately, like when we move into the dark months, we have like the seeds that are being planted and things that are growing and coming to life in this time, like during the dark, they're very different, of course, to the light half of the year. But they're calling us to look at what we're growing within. So we can look at that on multiple levels. We talk about the time of the ancestors and everything. I think that there's something here, and so much of what, you know, our ancestors practiced, and the reason why the dark months were such an important time of ancestral connection and just like the other world in general, right? Is because ultimately, however you sort of feel and however you see it or whatever you believe in, we have this opportunity to be able to access and almost, I'm trying to think of the word, it's like we can not just connect to, but we're not as distracted as we're in, you know, busy months where there's a lot of outward growth and a lot of outward external noise. When things grow quiet, we're able to access and hear things that are kind of beyond the physical tangible. So that might be in, right? We're tuning in and able to listen to what's present here. What's present, I'm also holding my womb, but what's within, and the various voices and sort of energies that are available to us that are there to speak with and dialogue with and guide us, that may be ancestors, that may be guides, that may be whatever it is for you. Time of a lot more kind of inward, I don't want to say growth, but a lot of kind of like the seeds that we're really sowing and growing during these months is the inner work, in the same way where the trees that they may, you know, shed and everything, awesome, but that's really allowing all the energy to draw down into the roots. We can't see on, right? It's in the unseen realm for us, but those roots are growing, they're deepening, they're drawing deeper sustenance. And really, when it comes to, you know, when it comes to spring next time, it means that they can grow further outward as well. So what becomes in these coming months is really important work, if we allow ourselves to kind of, if we're clear on what it is that we're kind of holding space for within ourselves and allowing that space as well.
I love this. And I want to link this back up to Aries season as well, because one of the connections I made thinking about this conversation was Aries is about the self. And although, you know, the transition to spring is an outward one, we're turning inward. And what better way to reconnect with ourselves and understand who we are and where we're at and what we want and what's aligned in our outer world than to turn inward and reflect on ourselves? And so maybe you can speak to that a little bit more about, you know, from the fact of Aries season being ourselves, how we can use that inward reflection, because how else also are we going to choose what to let fall away in this autumn season, but to turn inward, to look at who we are now and say, this is one of my favorite questions ever, and probably like an epic writing prompt as well. But like, if I was to choose this again right now, like, would I choose it? And it's this question of like looking at your life from the person that you are today, not the person you were last season or last year, and thinking like, if I, you know, me right now, would I choose this again? And I feel like that's such a beautiful, fresh way to align all of what we're talking about, where we're like, okay, let's go inwards, let's connect with who I am now, and let's look at what doesn't match anymore and let it fall away, take the action to clear it away, to make space for, you know, this version of us that we are now meeting again to grow, like you say, grow the roots of that. And that feels like the sort of starting of that, turning inward and saying, right, hello self, who are we and what are we doing?
I love that so much. Yeah. So, yeah. So for this, just that little bit extra context, like the way there's lots of different kind of archetypes that we can align the various signs with. But one that I always sort of picture Aries as is the warrior. And I mean, obviously it's Aries, but the way I kind of like picture Aries, like in an embodiment, is like this warrior, this sacred warrior who he initiates the cycle. It's the very first thing that, you know, lands here, you know, and when we think of like an evolutionary cycle, it starts with Aries. And so the image I have is Aries, this warrior who lands feet first with his mission, right? And his purpose and mission is informed. It's kind of led by, or he is led by his passion and desire. He has not moved through all the rest of the world yet. He hasn't moved through any of the other signs. He hasn't engaged with anyone or anything. All he has is this desire. My cat just joined us.
Hello.
All he has is this desire to move towards his intent, his purpose and mission. And so he is, Aries is the self. And the thing that kind of comes up, you know, oh my God, sorry, now my mind's just gone a million different ways because you just
amazing. I understand, my brain does that too.
The point there. Oh, remind me again, what was the very first point here within the question? Because there was something important that I was going to say on that before I go.
Great. Yeah, it was about this opportunity. Well, the shift of seasons saying we're turning inward. And so now let's connect with ourself to help guide us through saying no and clearing space for what. And I love the purpose and mission piece because I feel like that's amazing. Like landing on the earth, looking around and being like, oh, like some of this has got to go. Like this is not it. This is in the way. This is just going to confuse matters. Like, let me clear some space so we can see what we're doing here. Like, I loved that visual.
Yeah. So that, thank you. I knew there was something in there that I was just like, I have to say this. So within that, when we look at, especially when we put an autumnal overlay right over this energy, Aries shadow, or what happens when Aries is then met with an obstacle or resistance essentially in moving towards his purpose, right, is he experiences frustration, irritation, agitation, and if not anger and rage, right? Aries will not hold.
I'm just giggling because I'm an Aries sun and rising and I'm a generator in human design. So as soon as you say frustration, I'm just like, yes. Yes, this is how I experience the world.
It's so funny. Before we jumped on, I was like, I know Karen had quite a bit of Aries energy, so this is going to be... Yeah. So when we speak of these shadows, so to speak, right, pointing out to where Aries feels his energy is not able to flow, where he's being met with a wall, and he will... It, rather than like some other energies may find a way to like go around it or like maybe back off entirely, Aries doesn't get, because again he hasn't sort of learned to understand that, you know, there's other people who, you know, they have their own sense of will and desire. He hasn't learned
we're not being strategic, we're not being tactful, no. We're not trying to make this a win-win, we're just like, I don't want this here, go away.
Yeah. So and so that's the telltale sign, right? When Aries energy is afoot and particularly present in our lives, collectively and individually, it's going to feel a sense of frustration in certain areas, or if not like agitation, or you're quick to react. And that's the point to look deeper into, right? So again, when I was around, you know, within the context of autumn, like where do you feel tension right now? Where is the ick in your world? That's Aries speaking as well, especially frustrated, right? If you're feeling like, because ultimately what that frustration is pointing to is there is a desire that's not being met. You're feeling thwarted in some way in reaching what it is or being able to do what it is that you really want to do. And that could just be like, I just want to work, but I have children constantly in my, or you know, it could be anything like that.
Sometimes you have to coach yourself and say, okay, I will work with the children. And now this is, you have to like parent yourself. This is the next time you'll be able to come back to the work. So you can come back to it. But right now we have to, yeah, give the children food, which is usually what they're after.
So these energies, so this is what I mean, where you can see how these energies still work hand in hand. We just have to look at it. We're currently actually experiencing, and yeah, so when we look at the context of Aries is initiating, sparking and activating the self, our sense of self, and we're moving towards the dark half of the year. We're in a time when, yeah, we can be planting some new seeds, but we're also really consciously kind of clearing and shedding, paying attention to things that are, you know, coming up that are feeling a bit icky or challenging, or there's a lot of energy around. And just looking closer, really, looking a little bit closer. And for the most part, like really, energy wants to move, energy wants to flow. All of these cycles is about an energy leading itself forward, right? Leading from one to the next. We see that in the astrological, you know, cycle where Aries begins, it then moves itself into Taurus, and Taurus teaches us how to ground the desire, how to build the bedrock in order to be able to build upon the desire, and then so forth. Right? All of these energies speak to one another. And the same with, you know, the seasonal wheel of the year. It's constantly in motion, isn't it, right? Like it's not just we have Lammas and then we have the equinox and then it's, you know, there's energy transitioning constantly between every point within the cycle that we pinpoint, right?
Yeah, absolutely. They really are sort of those, I feel like they're kind of those markers to sort of remind us that this transition's happening and like check back in. Like, are you following with us or are you lagging behind? Like me, I'm always lagging behind in summer, like, but I don't want to come yet. And it is, it's those markers to say, all right, no, let's refocus. Let's look at what's going on. Let's move forward and work with the energies. Something you said though, with the frustration that I think is really important is, often we like avoid the yucky feelings and we're like, this is stuck. Okay. If it's hard, it just isn't meant to be, like, it's not flowing. I'm just not going to do it. I'm going to ignore it. And I feel like this is such a good reminder to look at the frustrations and the stickiness and that this is hard, but I really want it. And why can't I have it feelings as those signs to say, there's something here that doesn't belong. Again, I feel like I'm turning into a kid's cartoon. There's something here that doesn't belong, like, and get curious about it and use it as, yeah, wear that archetype of the warrior and be able to say, right, what dragon needs to be cut down here or made friends with? I don't want to kill dragons. I want to make friends with dragons. Yeah, what is here? And to get curious about it instead of, I think, what is maybe our default nature is to like avoid it or deny that desire because it's too hard. It's not meant to be.
I think, yeah, what you said, so just that's it, right? Because again, like, we're so avoidant that we won't even look at the thing that's causing disharmony, disease in our life. And for the most part, like, if we actually just look at it, as I said, looking from it's so on point because we're recording today on the Libra full moon and eclipse. So it's just like speaking on relationships. Feels alive, but
of course we are.
It might be something else, but it, you know, when I said earlier around, like, it may not be that a whole relationship has to burn away and die. Yeah. It may be, if we actually just look at it, it may just be that there's one particular aspect that's going on here that's grating up against yourself, right? It's get the energy that Aries is bringing forth within you. And all we need to do when we look at that, all we're doing is looking at how to create an opening for the energy to flow again, right? So when we're looking at it from the perspective of, like, what is it, is again, right? So when we think of Aries energy, his frustration, his anger, whatever it may be, comes up when he feels like his need or his desire is being thwarted. It's not being met. something's getting in the way from him being able to move toward his own desire. If we switch our lens from like, this thing is not working and it's really uncomfortable, to what is it I actually want here in this situation? Like, is it, I want to feel heard, or I want to feel a more connection and clarity between us, or I want to be able to sit and let my own kind of inner muse flow without distraction for an hour, whatever it may be. What is it you really, really want? Because when you actually pinpoint that, the desire, that gives you something to work towards, that gives you the opening, then make the necessary change. And that's what Aries is invoking. He's asking for action. He doesn't want to just like identify the thing and sit with it. He wants to just like crack it open and move through, right? Yeah. So yeah, coming through again, like when it was really pinpointing, like, where is it feeling icky at the moment for you? Sign that you're probably holding on to something. You're holding on and clinging rather than opening and letting it go and letting something fall away to create some spaciousness. It doesn't have to be a scary thing. Death, you know, doesn't have to be some complete like finality in your world. It's actually more about opening the space for the new thing to come through.
Yeah, absolutely. It is. It's that idea of there's a time and a literal season for certain things, and this is no longer the season for that. And it might come back around in a different way, shape, or form, but allowing it to exist in the time and space that it was for, and yeah, getting more comfortable with releasing and letting go and moving on to find new things. But the other part of what you were talking about there, it really feels like we're really good at focusing on the frustration. We're really good at focusing on feeling stuck and why it's not working and spiraling in that way. And I feel like this is really the reminder to say, okay, there's frustration, but what's shifting the focus? But what's the desire? And now let's focus on the desire, because of course you focus on the frustration, we're just getting closed tighter and tighter. You focus on the desire and you immediately start to open, just like you described. So I feel like it's that shifting our perspective, and let's spiral in the direction we want to be going. This isn't fun. So yeah, that gives us a real tangible thing to shift our energy to, because I think that's often the problem, is like we don't know where to go. We just know we're frustrated. We know it's not working. So to have something we can redirect our focus to, I think is one of the key things to kind of get us shifted out of that.
Yeah. And there's something else as well that's kind of, I'm trying to think of the wording exactly for this, but there's something here around, like when we look at the seasonal wheel of the year and the flow of like the earth's energy, I always, the earth offers us almost like a deeper relationship to this whole concept of the life, death, life, you know, cycle. And it can, in a sense, it can be more uncomfortable, because what she's actually doing is she's asking us to take our time with it. So when we look at like, you know, aligning with the cycle, like, you know, cyclical living by, you know, aligning with the moon, right? That's a 1 month cycle, right? Yeah. Which we'll do over and over again. But it's a bit of a fast turnaround, right? And the same with like moving through different astrological energies. Like we're moving with Aries at the moment for a few weeks, and then we'll move with this for a few weeks. The most part, like it's very easy, even though the astrological cycle is still like a year long, it's really easy for us to be caught up in like the changing, like jumping from energy. Whereas the earth invites us to actually sit with an energy and to spend time with it. So it's not like it's going to jump from one thing to the next. We're entering towards the dark half of the year. You're going to be here for a while. Right? So build that. And there's a piece here around, like, you know, you were speaking earlier around the months of summer and how they're like, it's a lot of like outward production, and like that's what we're comfortable with and what we're used to, because that's what we can measure, right?
Yes.
I against us, and we can measure for ourselves like what we've produced and how we're putting forth into the world. And when we look at it, like, you know, even like the growth cycle of a plant, like the tomatoes out in my yard at the moment, you know, they're still just holding on. They're just bearing a little bit of fruit still. But it's very easy to think that red ripe fruit on that bush is its pinnacle and it's, you know, I've done it kind of thing. But what autumn invites us, or the harvest season invites us to remember, is it's actually not about just the fruit that's grown. There's no point growing fruit if you're not going to do anything with it. Right.
Mm.
And autumn and the dark months that we're moving towards. And I wrote this in my journal the other day, so maybe that's why it's sort of in my head. But it's like this is a time, and this is a really, really important entire part of the cycle, is to digest and to compost what it is that we've grown. So, and they're two kind of different things as well, just keep in mind, right? So what we're digesting is we're taking in everything that we have built and accumulated and grown over the last 6 to 9 months, right? I'm guessing a lot has happened for you since then,
right? Yeah. So
August, September last year. Just take a moment and think, right? Just take a moment and just breathe into, like, okay, where was I in kind of mid to late August last year? And what have I grown? What has transpired since then in my own world?
Mm.
You've probably got a lot of fruit. It's probably, and maybe some are like spotted and had worms go through it, and maybe some are beautiful and ripe and delicious. But if you were to look at your basket right now, what is there? It's probably quite a bit that you really haven't taken a moment to actually look at, mm. right? And so looking at this then, what am I digesting? Like, how can I digest the last 6 to 9 months? And that's not just like, you know, okay, I can tick off, I've done this, but what am I receiving? What mm. am I actually going to take? And then compost the remains, right? So from what I've taken, like, right, I'll take the juice, I'll take the seeds, I'll take the nourishment and sustenance that I have grown over this time. And whatever's left, I can return to the earth. I can make good soil from, right? It's a really, really important aspect to this whole cycle. And it's kind of the point, right? It's mm. the point. It's like we're not just growing for growing's sake. We're growing to complete the cycle, which is to receive the nourishment and to return to the earth in order to begin again. And I think that there's an aspect to what we're moving, like this point of the equinox that we've been at, and that we're moving kind of towards the dark half, is to really sit with what am I digesting and what am I composting now? How can I kind of like lessen
mm.
my efforts and take in what I've actually just done, yeah. what I've actually just grown? That doesn't ask us as much to be like, you know, putting forth out into the world. When I said earlier about the seeds that we sow, some things mm. come from what we're digesting, right? As we're kind of receiving the nourishment, it might be like, oh, that's something that I'm feeling really called to, or that has sparked or initiated a new path, right?
Mm-hmm.
I can start foundations and some seeds now. So that may happen. But for the most part, we're really called to actually just take in what it is we've just done, right, in these outward months.
Yeah. I love that so much. I feel like that's given me so many, like, tangible ideas of, like, oh, like you say, this season isn't passive. It can be, well, it is very active, but also what is that activity and what does that activity look like? And like you say, as the opportunity to digest, and one of the things that I do a lot of in my own writing and journaling is just processing, like, experiences that have happened. So I feel like that's such an opportunity now to be like, okay, yeah, let's take a breath. Let's turn a bit inward. Let's take some time for ourselves. And let's do some of that, like, review that we often
get encouraged to do around like New Year, January time, and say, well, what has been going on for the last 6 months? You know, what are some of the experiences that maybe are still bugging me or still have a lot of emotion around them? And can I just write them out? Something that happened completely unintentionally when I was doing a few articles for my website about body hair, I was just writing my experience of like from in puberty and now and whatever, with no intention of it going anywhere other than just being here's my personal experience. But by just writing it out, it really helped me shift away, and I didn't hold on that teenage view of this thing anymore, and I could form a view of it as myself right now, which in some cases turned out to be different, which really surprised me. So I know there's such power in journaling, even just to like describe the experience is going to help digest it and help process it. So that was one of the things. And then I think the other thing you said about, you know, we don't grow things just for the sake of like putting it on display. We grow things like food to do something with it. And I love the shift of thinking about autumn as harvest season, which of course it was thought about that way for millennia and generations. And I'm like, duh. But looking at, okay, what are we doing with the food, with the fruit? Because once we've gathered the harvest, right, there's, you know, storing of the fruit or using the fruit or distributing the fruit. Like, what are we doing with it? How are we using it? And I feel like that gives me some of that internal permission to be like, right, what are the actions I've been taking through summer that have resulted in a thing? And now, what are the next steps with that? So taking kind of away the, no, you're not allowed to do anything in autumn. It's restful. It's inward. We're doing that, which maybe speaks more to winter. But that was one of my big ahas just now, was like, oh, look at the results and where you've got to. And now what are the next steps with it? Because if we think about our luteal phase and our menstrual cycle and the enchantress energy, it's very productive. It's very creative. Like that's the energy that is in autumn at the moment. So it is almost looking at like, what have we got? And now what can we do with what we've got? So those are just some threads that have started sparking off in my head from where you went there, which I'm so grateful and glad that you did. Did you want to add anything on to that? Because I'm going to have to go keep thinking those thoughts afterwards and see where they take me.
I think, yeah, just like following from what you've said, like what's like it really feels to me, you know, it's the integration point. It's which again, that's the point that's often missed. We often think that when we look at the cycle of creating something, or calling something into our lives, for example, that it's the moment that that thing appears or manifests that we've done it, right?
Yeah,
That
we're done. That's the end. And you're
but
lit. No.
there's a whole piece then that follows when it like it's really important to acknowledge, and it's this piece around like, okay, who am I now that I have this thing? Who am I now that I am this iterational version of myself? Even as like an example, like the last, you know, for me when I look at my bundle, my basket, you know, that I've gathered since September last year, one of the things that's also kind of accumulated for me is I also picked up some part-time work. And so like that's a thing on its own, right? So it's just like that's one particular juicy fruit. But one of the things that I'm really digesting right now is, okay, well, who am I now that I have this whole new aspect in my life, right? Who am I now? I'm, you know, I'm this version of myself who does this and also has part-time work as well now. And that takes like that takes some digesting, it takes some sitting with. And I think when we speak, this is like that piece I just really want to like keep bringing home is when we speak about moving towards the dark months and the dark half of the year. It does call us into stillness once we enter into to winter, but that stillness is not passive. That stillness is not just non-doing. It's just what's going on is it's very much in the unseen, intangible realm. And that's part of the digestion. It's part of the composting, is being able to like sit with, kind of lessen the external noise and all of the rampant like production that we've been doing, and just start to grow a little more still so that we can digest, so that we can identify these aspects of ourselves that are ready to just sort of slot into place to integrate for us. Mm. And like you said, requires processing, that requires some, you know, just like it, this is also part of the energy of action that we're called yes. into.
I love that. And yeah, my brain's just done the thing where it's gone in like four different places at once. It's so fun when it does that, but also bringing it back, I think that is really important, because we are so comfortable in the doing, and so it's nice to have the like permission slip to take actions, because like taking actions feels good. It like soothes us a little bit, but also knowing that those actions are reflective and are coming back to ourselves and are setting us up for moving forward in the direction we want to go. And I love that that's where we've got, because for me, like, that soothes my little summer soul. And I'm like, okay, I feel like I can look towards autumn now, less like everything is dying and falling away and we're going to be like hidden in the dark for months, and more is as a opportunity to like really get clear on my purpose and my desires, and taking action to make space and room for them. And to spend time with them without necessarily having to like produce. And like you say, doing that, those more intangible things that are going to grow the roots. So, because that's the time we need to give time and space to those activities. Like you were talking about composting, digesting and composting, because the composting part is what's going to allow things to grow even stronger as the season shifts again later on.
I just have to, yeah, I love the concept of composting, and I think it might be a concept that can kind of not necessarily be a bit sticky for people, but sometimes it may not completely compute in terms of like, okay, composting sounds very poetic. What does that mean? Like, how can I, like, what does it mean to be composting in my life? And I think
it means you sit there crying over your journal for a good while, and then, you know, that after it's passed you feel better. Like, I don't know.
One aspect that I really see it is what is composting? It, to compost is to turn into dirt again, mm-hmm. right? Mm-hmm. It's returning to the soil and add life and nourish, like nutrients, to make good soil. Mm-hmm. And when we look at that in perspective of, look, what does that mean in our actual life? Like, how do I compost things for my life? What does that mean? The way I really kind of like invite you to feel into it or to see it is like the things that are called to end in our lives, the things that live out their full natural cycle mm. and end. It doesn't mean that they're like suddenly obsolete in the full scale of our life, like the long story mm. of our life. It means that they played their role, they played their part, they grew and provided for, and now they can return to the soil in order for us to build upon. And mm. really important point to be able to kind of appreciate. It gives gratitude still to the things that have been in our lives, and in the sense that it's like it's not just like discarding them, right? It's mm. not like it's gone. It's like, no, this has now become part of the bedrock in which I'm continuing on. And so part of that digestion, right, part of that composting and the digestion is like, yes, taking out like the things that we wanted to bring with us, but allowing the aspects, whether it's a past relationship, for example. Relationships are just on the mind. I don't even have massive relationships or anything, but
somebody watching or listening obviously does. Speaking to them,
but whether it's a relationship, right, like it's the person that we were you know, during that time has then turned to the soil and is part of that, that holds us up now. It's part of that, and entities and versions of ourselves that we have been, all of these experiences and aspects of our previously that have been, is all of the soil that we grow and build upon in today and tomorrow, right? And so when we're composting, it's that full circle, right? It's not just like, oh, here's this juicy fruit, I'll take a little bit of it and like I'll take a bite and then just discard it, but really allowing what you've received from it to integrate and consciously put it to bed, but to compost the soil that you're building upon.
Because so often we deny experiences that we've had. Like, this is the thing that's coming up for me. It's like, well, I lived through that and I do not want to revisit it and I want to pretend it never happened. But having simply experienced it and lived through it, we are a different person, and taking the time to really digest that allows us to integrate and then to be able to see some of the strength we've gained or the knowledge we've gained or the wisdom we've gained from that, that is going to allow us to move forward in a different way than if we had kept denying it and holding it separate to ourselves.
Yeah. I mean, ultimately, like, it's almost, it's an incomplete cycle, right? Like, even if it's a bad experience, the experience itself, the pinnacle peak energy is the fruit, right? It's hanging. What's happening with it, right? Are we going to consciously allow it to decompose? Are we going to consciously allow it to break down and become good soil? Or are we just going to avoid it and look at, like, just keep ignoring that dead bush that's just sitting there in our yard or, you know, whatever it may be? Cycle comes when we take who we are now from that moment, and we gather, we harvest who it is that we have become, right? What it is that we've received. And, you know, that can be a bit sticky when it's a difficult or more challenging experience, but this goes both ways. It might be an amazing thing that happened in it. Still requires, this is that same point, like it still requires the digesting and the composting. The fruit itself, the thing that happens, the thing that enters or materializes into our world, our life, that's not the end of the cycle. We have to then integrate who we are now because of that manifestation, because of that thing materializing in our life. That's that's the point. That's the full scope of the scale of the cycle.
Yeah. Absolutely. And I like that you touched on, you know, it not necessarily just being experiences that have maybe been bad or we've not liked, but it also being experiences that are happy and joyful and exciting. Because I know part of my personal story is that a lot of the times I haven't felt like I can fully express my excitement for something or fully celebrate something that's happened, for all of those societally people-pleasing reasons. And so I think that's another great reminder of something where, sure, we probably know we're ignoring the, like, bad experiences because we don't want to process those. But what about things that have happened that maybe you've not fully celebrated? Like, maybe you've not fully, like, really felt into and realized, like, you did that. Like, you worked through and this thing happened. And now it's part of, like, your world. This is part of your new normal now. And you're just acting like it's normal and has been forever. But, like, we need to do a little bit more here. We need to celebrate a bit more. We need to, like you say, really digest it more fully so we can embody the person who really can hold this and more moving forward.
Absolutely. Like, celebration is just, like, it's so important, and, like, that's the whole point of these harvest festivals, right? It's celebrating what it is we've received. It's celebrating the earth and her generosity of what she, like, you know, gifts upon us. Like, Lammas Lunasaur is a festival of thanksgiving for the grains. Marvin, or, like, it's a relatively new name, but, like, the autumnal equinox is a celebration of the more vegetal, like the fruits and the berries and the, you know, the more vegetal produce. Like, all of it is in celebration and deep gratitude and celebration for what it is that's grown. Right. So yes, the season of autumn is the time of, like, you know, we see the leaves shedding and falling away. But it's the time of, like, when everything has come to fruit and we can celebrate and give thanks for that.
I love that so much. And I think one of my biggest takeaways from this conversation is that perspective shift of autumn being a season of things dying to one of that, like, harvest and abundance. Because like you say, that's exactly what all three of the harvest festivals were, bringing in Samhain at the end, is, hey, look, we've grown enough food. We're not going to starve for winter. We're pretty damn excited about it. Just saying. Like, great job, everyone. Like, let's enjoy some of what we've got to tide us over and celebrate together in that. So I think that alone, and I've intellectually known, like, these autumn times or harvest festivals for like 4 years now, and it's never landed quite like in this conversation. So I think, yeah, it's a really big thing for us to shift in into one of celebration, even of survival as well. I don't know whether that speaks more to spring and our friends in the other hemisphere, but I think in life sometimes maybe we don't have a lot to, like, of positive things to celebrate, but maybe you've gone through some really hard things and you did it. Like, you were brave and courageous and strong, and you've come out the other side and you did a really good job, and you might on paper not be like anywhere new than 6 months ago or last year, but often we forget to put our life in context of what we're actually experiencing and dealing with on a, like, daily, weekly basis. And that's for celebration as well.
Absolutely. Absolutely. Yeah.
I love that we've ended on celebration. I feel like that's so perfect.
there's other little threads, but I'm just like, I feel like that really, it does. It brings this whole piece to a wholeness, I think. Yeah,
me too. I'm kind of like, oh, we could still go there, but I love this moment of that celebration. Yeah, I feel like that has brought us to a beautiful place together. So thank you so much. I'm just gonna sit in this for a while. Thank you so much for joining me and having this conversation. I will pop this recording up on my podcast as well so that we can share it out and re-listen. And I'm sure that I'm going to re-listen because there's just so many ideas that I've had from this conversation with what I'm writing and exploring with this season, because I have a lot of rewiring in my brain to do to really embrace this time of the year. And I do really enjoy it. Every time I really force myself to say, no, it's time, and it always comes with the autumn equinox, there is real beauty on the other side of it. So did you want to share with everyone what offers you have? You have your beautiful membership, which I've been in off and on, which has so much in it around exactly this kind of guidance. Do you just want to speak a little bit to that?
I'd love to. And I'd love to hear anyone who's listening, like, I'd love to hear how this conversation has sort of, like, sparked anything within you as well. Are there anything in particular that's kind of clicked into place, or, like, how this resonates with you as well in what you're experiencing in your life at the moment? But yeah, so I have my membership, as you said, called the Soul Weavers Membership, where we kind of weave each month the cyclical rhythms of the moon, the astrology, and the seasonal shift. So there's always new and full moon deep dives. There's, like, the major astrological transits that are going on. And we kind of always explore, like, the wheel of the year, the seasonal sabbats as well. And really, it's just this space and place, like, where there's an invitation to walk, like, in real time, these energies, to be working with and to be kind of co-writing with these energies that are weaving within and around you. So it's one thing, I think, to, like, just read about it or, you know, listen to a podcast, but it's another to actually be invited to, like, to explore what does this mean or look like in your life, right? Okay, Aries is the initiator. What's being initiated in your life at the moment? So this is what we explore in the membership. I also have my podcast, which is the Weaving the Wild podcast. And yeah, Instagram probably is the other place where you'll find me.
Amazing. Yeah, highly recommend you check out all of Rachel's places. She's a beautiful, beautiful guide through these seasons and times of the year. And if you're interested in journaling more and looking inward and exploring, I have some writing classes that I'm hosting at the moment, which are really fun. I've got two coming up over the next 2 weeks if you're watching in real time, but I'm hoping to continue them for a long time. So have a look at my Instagram for those. And if you have a writing project, they're great for you to come along and work on it. But I also really want them to be a space where you can just show up and journal and spend some time with yourself. My big focus and passion, like we were talking about as an Aries, is for women to tell their stories. And that can really start with you telling your story to yourself on a piece of paper. And so I really want to hold space in these classes for people to do just that, for us to just come together as women, share where we are at, who we are, spend some time writing, and have an opportunity as well to share and be heard at the end if you feel called, or just to have a space where you can come and do it if you need that extra accountability or want to be doing that in circle with other women.
So powerful, Karen. And I also love, and I've just got to say, like, it's also so beautifully, like, entwined with this Aries energy, and not just Aries season, but like collectively we are so being called into Aries energy. The North Node is in Aries.
Yes.
And that's, it's really like what we're being guided into over these next, I mean, it's already been happening, but these next months as well, is to be thyself, like to learn what it means to be yourself, capital S, within the world. We're all being called to clear, like Aries is like, take up that blazing sword and like cut and clear anything that is not you, that is not authentic, and to show up as yourself within the world. That's what we need. And to be seen in that, to be yourself. And so I think so much of what you're doing is just so powerful and so like on point, Karen. First, to be able to witness yourself, like on your own terms, like just being able to witness yourself, and then have that opportunity to like gently be seen within that space. You identify that to then actually reveal it in a really beautiful, safe space to get comfortable with, because we're being more and more called to bring that out into the world, and that can be really scary. But having a safe space, that being seen kind of work, is really, really important.
Oh, thank you so much. Yeah, I am loving it. And I've been really speaking to like digesting, like this, I've had a whole death rebirth and this feels like the new beginning part of it. So yeah, doing it in parallel with these energies and understanding it, and I love how it just seems to keep matching up with everything. I'm like, just write, like come write, listen to yourself, share your story, and it doesn't have to be tricky or complicated. And then we find beautiful people that we can have amazing conversations with and share what we're so passionate about. So thank you again. This has been amazing. I'm going to listen back to it and try manage all of the ideas that I have from it in this season when I'm also meant to be pruning. So we'll digest them first, right? That's what I need to do. and then plant a few. So thank you so very much. And I know we'll keep in touch. And yes, if you're watching, listening, let us know how you're feeling with the seasonal shift, and if there was anything in particular we touched on that gave you one of those aha moments like it did to me. I would love to share in it. So thank you so much, and have a beautiful rest of your day.
You too, lovely. Thank you so much. It's been amazing.
Thank you. Bye.
Thank you for listening to the Weaving the Wild podcast. I'm walking my path here on Dja Dja Wurrung country, and I acknowledge the Dja Dja Wurrung elders past and present.